welcome back to another episode of Strong in the Saddle. And today we are talking about imposter syndrome, because as I'm slowly figuring out how to get more active within the horse industry, I have feelings of imposter syndrome creeping in. I feel like I tend to have feelings of imposter syndrome in other areas of my life, but we're gonna stay within the horse industry today because that's the place where I feel it the most. I have had horses for 22 years at this point, and like, I've had horses in my life for longer than I have not had horses in my life, and through that 22 years, I have gained quite a bit of experience with horses. I've done a lot of things, from 4-H to high school rodeo, amateur showing, like a lot of things, right? And I've also just learned about caring for a horse, you know, so outside of competing. I've learned a lot about just managing a horse and their health as well. So I have a lot of knowledge when it comes to horses, but despite all of that, I still feel a lot of, yeah, just imposter syndrome, feeling like, who am I to have a horsey podcast? Who am I to be posting on the internet about my experiences with horses? And I think like that, even though, like, I'm not trying to be an authoritative figure. I'm not saying that I know what is best. I am an expert on horses and you should listen to me. Like, I don't have that attitude at all. And still, I have these feelings of just not being good enough to be in the horse industry, which I think is wild. Absolutely wild. And it begs the question, at what point will I not feel like an imposter? At what point will I feel like I am entitled, or not entitled, there's no reason why I can't be at X event, why I can't identify as a cowgirl or a horse owner or an equestrian. There's no reason that those things can't be true. And yet I still have this voice in the back of my head saying that it's not allowed, and it's intimidating, I won't lie. So just so we're all on the same page, I did Google what imposter syndrome is, so I'll just read it off my computer here. It's a psychological phenomenon characterized by feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt despite evidence of competence and success. So yeah, feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt. That is exactly what I've been meaning to say. I feel inadequate as a horse person. I am always doubting myself. Like, if I set competition goals, I have a huge amount of self-doubt in myself and whether I should even try. Like, in a few of the recent podcasts, I've talked about how I really want to get good as a horse person. I want to really get after it. And, you know, I'll have a good day where I'm like feeling like, yeah, let's do this. And then it'll move to, your track record's not great. What makes you think this is going to be any different? Or even just like, why do you even have horses? Like, they would be so much better with someone else. All of those feelings are just so toxic and so, so unnecessary. I think one thing that really makes this whole situation worse is social media. It is very easy now to go online, pull out your phone, go online, and you have instant access to see all these people having success with their horses, all these people winning buckles and trophies, and they have these beautiful horses in these beautiful barns, and they're riding every day, and it all looks amazing. And as a human, I feel like we can't help but compare. And even if we do acknowledge that social media is a highlight reel, no one's putting pictures or videos up of themselves when they're at rock bottom. At least very few people are. They're posting when, yeah, they're coming out on top at the horse show, or I don't know, they've just taught their horse some really technical maneuver. They're showing the best of their lives, and it really creates this skewed interpretation of what reality is. Even if you tell yourself, I know that that's not their day today, it still gets in your head. So I think that in and of itself is a huge, huge reason why, at least for myself personally, this is a problem. Even just, like I can open up my phone and I can see, you know, the greatest of the great riding their horses, and comparing myself to them, like if I compared myself to, I don't know, Sarah Dawson in the cow horse, or Brittany Posey in the barrel racing, or whatever else, like, of course I'm going to feel like crap and feel like I'm completely inadequate. I'm comparing myself to the top people in the industry, which is so unfair. I know it's unfair, but it still doesn't make me feel good about myself. It's this very, very messed up situation that social media has created. And that's why I think creating barriers for yourself when it comes to social media is so important. I took the whole month of December off last year, off of Instagram. I would not let myself go on it because I knew it was not good. One, I was just wasting time on it, but two, it was just not making me feel good about myself. And I feel like I kind of need to make standing rules for myself about how much social media I can consume, because, yeah, I tend to scroll in the evenings before I go to bed, and I can often be left feeling like I'm never going to get to where I want to be with my horses and all of that stuff. And I don't want to go to bed feeling like that, so just mindful social media consumption is what I'm getting at. I think an anecdote for imposter syndrome and just feeling inadequate and having self-doubt is to just keep your eyes on your own paper, if you know what I mean. Stay off social media if you can, and just focus on your goals. You need to put on blinders, put your head down, and get to work. And I think that's one issue I'm having right now. So I'm recording this in February. Riding is not really an option right now. I'm going into tax season, and I have time to just think about how I feel like I'm getting behind, how my horse isn't legged up, and how I feel like I'm just getting left in the dust. And I can, yeah, sit on social media and see these people riding their horses on a regular basis and getting better and doing the things. And I think just me not being able to take action in the form of riding every single day is a good way for me to just sit and stew on all of this. I feel like if this was June and I am full-time riding, making it happen, it would be a different story because I have that to focus on, right? Right now, I just kind of have this void of no riding, which isn't great. But I think if I really want to deal with this, I need to find ways to fill that void. And there is lots of ways to fill the void. You can become more proficient as a horse person without having to swing a leg over a horse, believe it or not. You can do groundwork. You can read books. You can do visualizations. You can watch online videos, take courses. There's a ton of things that you can do to improve as a horse person. Again, without actually riding your horse. Like, obviously, don't get me wrong, riding a horse is a big part of this, but the next best thing is those other things. And I think I've done a real good job of being busy doing things that are not productive. I'm just going to call myself out on that. I've done a good job at doing things that are not moving the needle. I've walked my horse a hell of a lot in the pasture. That doesn't do a whole lot. He literally just follows behind me with his lead rope. Sure, he's getting a little bit of exercise, but is that improving anything? No, it's not. Like, yes, I'm spending time with him. I'm not even really spending time with him. Like, he's literally behind me when I'm walking. To me, that's lazy. I'm being lazy. I need to be like, okay, we can't ride. What else can we do? And I think if I am being more proactive in that regard, as opposed to just being ho-hum going for walks, I think that'll make me feel a lot better about myself, knowing that, okay, let's say you are an imposter, do something about it, right? Don't just, yeah, hand walk your horse around the pasture. That is not helping anything. And maybe that's a bit of tough love, but I really think I need to put words into action. If I say I want to get better, then I need to be doing those things that are going to make me get better. On another note, though, I will say that the horse industry is tough. It's tough. I would say don't get me wrong, there are great people within the horse industry, but there is a lot of clickiness and elitism in certain areas of the horse industry, and that can make someone coming into it really, really feel like an outsider, and it can make a person feel like they don't belong and that there's no way to get into the horse industry. And I think I don't know how to change that. Because I mean, I'm currently struggling with it, where I don't have my group of horse people, so to speak, and it can be lonely on the outside. You can be within the horse industry, but feel like you're on the outside looking in at the same time. It's very interesting. Not the greatest place to be, but I think if you're persistent, if you are a constant presence, you can slowly chip away at that, I guess, wall or window that you're kind of looking through. I'm not sure, but I'm not gonna lie, that is definitely the case. I wish it wasn't, but it's kind of just how it happens to be. I wish somehow we could change that narrative. I think I'm gonna call out Clinton Anderson here. He used to be this clinician who, you know, average amateur equestrians loved him because his videos were very, myself included, because his videos and whatnot were very much step by step broken down. This is what you do, then this is what you do, then this is what you do. And people loved him. And in recent years, he has become very outspoken, talking down to the people who made him a millionaire, to be quite frank, making them feel less than. I think his avatar that he was targeting was like the middle-aged woman, kids are kind of grown up, and now she's wanting to get back into horses. And he has said a lot of very rude and just not good things about people in that category. And I think he's obviously a very loud, bright example of how a lot of professionals in the horse industry teach people in the amateur ranks, which is arguably the largest sector of the horse industry. And what makes this horse industry go round is people like the middle-aged woman going back into horses and things like that, right? and they get talked and looked down upon from others in the horse industry. So it's no wonder that people like me, who, yes, I am an amateur horse rider who has intermediate riding skills, it's no wonder that I'm dealing with imposter syndrome, right? Like, I feel like if I can't stop and spin and all the things like Andrea Fapani, then I don't belong here. And that's not right. You know, I have spent my hard-earned money on a nice horse. I've bought the tack, I've spent the time, I am fully entitled to do whatever the heck I want to with my horse, whether that be going to compete in the local horse show, or going to a horse expo, or going to a clinic, or whatever the heck it is that I want to do with my horse, I am entitled to do that. And I should not feel inferior because I'm not, yeah, an Andrea Fapani, right? I feel like this was a bit of a ranty episode, you guys. I hope I'm getting my point across. I know part of my imposter syndrome is just me putting that on myself, and it's just a lack of self-confidence and having self-doubt. But there is also the side of the horse industry not being so nice. So the combination of the two is not great, but like I said, if I just keep my head down, work hard, and like that's all I can do, right? If I'm working hard, I know I have every right to, if I want to call myself a cowgirl, I'll call myself a cowgirl. If I want to go compete, I can go compete. I should have no hesitation to do those things. I enjoy horses, and yeah, that's never going to change. So I'm going to do what I want to do with my horses, and I just need to push that self-doubt out of the way and get to it. So be sure to follow me everywhere at Strong in the Saddle. And until next time, remember, it's always a good day to ride.